Welcome to City Council.
Carla, would you please read the 2 o'clock time certain?
I'll take a roll call.
Please.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Adams. Item 559, proclaim April 22nd, 2010, to be a day of recognition for Andy Linehan.
Thank you, Carla. And I want to express the mayor's regret that he could not be with us today. He's homesick. And as the president of the council, I will preside in his place. Welcome all to City Council today. The agenda item before us is a proclamation to honor the life of an extraordinary Portlander, Andy Linehan. Upon learning of his passing, Mayor Adams was very supportive of a proclamation to recognize Andy and his accomplishments, and I know that he would have liked to be here to be part of this celebration. Carl, on behalf of the council, we extend our deep regrets on your loss. Our hearts and thoughts are with you. And while this event cannot substitute for that loss, it will help us remember Andy and the profound impact that one person could have on the world. I would like to thank everyone, especially Carl and our featured speakers, who have come here today to honor Andy. Now, it's no accident that the city is honoring Andy on Earth Day because he and all of his endeavors truly work to make the world a better place. And the world is a better place because of Andy. Happy Earth Day, Andy. And I would like to thank Grace and the mayor's office and Andrew Carlstrom and the office of the auditor for putting together this proclamation and this presentation. So I have a proclamation which we're going to read and present to Carl, but I think that because we have so many people here, what I'd like to do is first do the invited testimony and then conclude with the proclamation. And so we have some very distinguished people with us here today. There are a total of five panels that have been invited, and I'll call people up by groups. First up is State Senator Jackie Dingfelder, who worked with Andy at CH2M Hill. Welcome, Jackie. Sue Thomas, who is the current president of the City Club, and Andy, as many of you know, served as a past president of the City Club. And Linda Traeger. Linda was on the Equity Foundation board with Andy, and I know that she needs to leave early. So to our first panel, welcome to City Hall. If you could give us your name, and each of you have as much time as you want, but hopefully within about a 3-minute period. Great. Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you. I know that drill very well. Good afternoon, City Commissioners, and thank you again for honoring Andy on this very special day, Earth Day. My name is Jackie Dingfelder, and I'm the state senator for Senate District 23, which includes portions of southeast and northeast Portland. I appreciate the opportunity to say a few words about Andy, a caring and wonderful individual who touched many lives, including mine. I met Andy when I was employed at CH2M Hill, an environmental consulting firm, in the mid-1990s, and we soon became friends. As we shared a passion for protecting the environment, a love of traveling, and an interest in policy and politics. In addition to Andy's long commitment to the environment, he was committed to making Portland a better place. He provided leadership as president of the City Club and also very active with the American Leadership Forum. He was also known nationwide for his innovative work on wind energy projects and was a leader in promoting responsible renewable energy development. In addition to his long and distinguished environmental professional career, he was a committed partner, a friend, a neighborhood activist, and always there when you needed him. In so many ways, Andy generously gave to the community to make it a better place for all, and he also was very involved, some of you might know, with the Peace Corps in Africa in a former life, in addition to his activities at the City of Portland. While running for the state senate, I called Andy up to ask if he and his partner Carl would host a lawn sign. They happened to have a very strategic corner lot on a very busy bike route in my district. Of course, they said yes, and both Andy and Carr were very supportive of my run for state senate and was a very active constituent. I was very proud to represent Andy. Andy was also an avid bike commuter, and some days we ran into each other on our bike commute home from work, biking over the Broadway Bridge. And so I, like many people in this room, miss him terribly. And I very much appreciate the City of Portland passing this resolution honoring Andy Lenihan. May we keep him in our hearts and continue his community and environmental work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator, for honoring us with your presence today. Ms. Thomas.
Good afternoon, and thank you. My name is Sue Thomas, and I'm the current president of the City Club of Portland. I am here in this room and here in this role as a result of Andy Lenihan. Andy is was my neighbor and my colleague at the City Club. As I said in an email to Andy a few days before he passed away, he was the catalyst for me pursuing the leadership role that I have currently in the organization. 6 years ago, when Andy was president of City Club, he invited me into a conversation about the role of citizenship in the city of Portland. Andy's passion about the power and responsibility of being a contributing member of a community made a deep impression on me. As others have said of Andy, he created community through his natural sense of hospitality and inclusion. And he didn't have to remember to do this. It was just who he was as a human being. I'd like to take a moment to just read one paragraph from a book entitled Community by Peter Block that I think encapsulates the way that Andy thought about what it means to be a citizen. Choosing to be accountable for the whole, creating the context of hospitality and collective possibility, acting to bring the gifts of those on the margin into the center, these are some of the ways we begin to create a community of citizens. To reclaim our citizenship is to be accountable. And this comes from the inversion of what is cause and what is effect. When we are open to thinking along the lines that citizens create leaders, that children create parents, and that the audience creates the performance, we create the conditions for widespread accountability and the commitment that emerges from it. This inversion may not be the whole truth, but it is nevertheless very useful. While Andy was always very generous with his time and his financial support of City Club, over the years, I would like to say on behalf of the club right now that I would like to acknowledge our gratitude for Andy's final gift to the club, which he left, which is the single largest financial contribution ever made to the organization. We are deeply indebted to Andy. He will strengthen our endowment and enable us to put some much-needed infrastructure into the organization. So thank you, Andy.
Thank you very much. Ms. Traeger. Welcome.
Thank you. City commissioners and family members and guests, I'm honored to have this opportunity to speak about Andy Lenihan. I know this occasion is primarily focused on Andy's contributions to sustainability and the environment, but Andy made a difference in many other ways as well. I got to know Andy because of his service on the Equity Foundation board between September 2005 and the summer of 2007, and I was executive director at that time. Equity Foundation, for those of you who don't know, is Oregon's gay, lesbian, nonprofit community foundation that's focused on overcoming prejudice and discrimination toward people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. And they do this by providing grants and scholarships to strengthen diversity in Oregon. Andy served on the Board Development Committee and participated in Equity Foundation's first and subsequent annual fund campaigns. He and his life partner, Carl Snook, who had participated in the early meetings forming the Equity Foundation, also established a donor-advised fund at the foundation through which they made donations to a variety of organizations supporting the GLBT community and others who were against discrimination in any form. Andy's thoughtfulness, sincerity, and commitment were extraordinary. As a man who was gay and who also had worked with people in other countries, from different ethnicities and races, he had a broad spectrum of experience. His conscientiousness and integrity were always at play. He proactively addressed potential conflicts. For example, prior to him accepting a position, a new position at CH2M, he worked with the human resources person there to craft a letter to upper management to ensure his partner would be included at all office events, an action that we can appreciate would have taken courage. Earlier, his focus on equality revealed itself in his work on a City Club of Portland issue paper on homosexuality, whose recommendations were adopted by the City Club in July 1994. The report was developed in response to the Oregon-wide debates ensuing even after the defeat of Ballot Measure 9 in November of 1992, an initiative that sought to dishonor and marginalize people who were GLBT. He witnessed positive changes in his lifetime as the GLBT community achieved new rights and broader acceptance. Andy and Carl, who would have celebrated 20 years together this summer, were married at Keller Auditorium on March 3, 2004, a right that was subsequently rescinded, but was followed by legislative changes that made it possible for them to register as domestic partners in Oregon, which they did. In spite of these gains, we continue to witness efforts to discriminate against the GLBT community. Some groups have mounted new efforts, such as those currently underway, urging President Obama to eliminate from his Supreme Court candidate list people who are GLBT. I hope you will join me and my life partner of 32 years and honor Andy's legacy by continuing to fund change and work for equality of people who are marginalized. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. The next panel that we have arranged, if you please come forward, Ed Arnett, Stu Webster, and Don Furman. Mr. Arnett is from the Bats and Wind Energy Cooperative. I understand Andy was passionate about the interface between wildlife and wind energy. Mr. Webster is from the American Wind and Wildlife Institute, and Andy was a former board member. And Mr. Furman is the VP of Development, Transmission, and Policy for Ebro-Drola Renewables. Who would like to begin?
Go ahead, Dan. Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. President, and good afternoon, everyone. City Council members, citizens of Portland, friends and family of our lost friend and colleague, Mr. Andy Linehan, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here today in this very deserving celebration for Andy. My name is Ed Arnett, and I am the Director of Programs for Bat Conservation International, and I lead the research program that you mentioned earlier, sir, called the Bats and Wind Energy Cooperative. And it's been a real pleasure knowing Andy for the past 5 or so years and our involvement together in working on wind energy and wildlife issues, and most notably working together on developing and testing solutions to reduce fatalities of bats and reducing impacts of other wildlife issues at wind energy facilities. In my opinion, Andy was perhaps the most proactive developer in the wind industry as it related to environmental performance and working proactively towards solutions to environmental issues surrounding wind energy development. The research program that I lead could not possibly have advanced as quickly and as effectively without his support on wind energy and bat issues and his support within his company for these issues. Andy was the primary champion responsible for initiating a rather controversial piece of research on curtailing operations to reduce bat fatalities. He went out on a limb and convinced his company that it was the right thing to do to go out on that limb and when others were not willing to do so. And without that support, we certainly would not have advanced our scientific knowledge about this very critical issue. He worked diligently within his company to make not only this research but other things happen. And we simply could not have advanced the science without him. And I'm indebted to his work on this issue such that I plan to dedicate all of my future scientific publications on this work in his honor. Andy's good nature and positive attitude and total dedication toward getting wind right will be sorely missed as we tackle complex issues of this nature in the future. He set a standard for environmental stewardship in the wind industry for others to follow, and those that do so may just receive a reward that's been established in his name. But my connection with Andy was far deeper than just work, and yet I really never got a chance to tell him that until in his final days, and even then so in a letter. He battled with cancer for nearly a decade, and for the longest time completely unbeknownst to me. And very few people probably would have ever known that he was battling this dreaded disease. And his positive attitude and his energy were simply infectious and masked any of the symptoms that he might have been suffering from. And since knowing Andy, I can say that on many occasions in my own life, I thought I had issues and problems and complaints that with work or personal or combinations therein. And I'd often remind myself of what Andy was, in fact, going through and try and draw from some of his strength and courage. And it usually made my issues seem pathetically trivial in the grander scheme of things. Cancer is an outright thief. It stole my own mother away recently, just a couple of months after Andy had passed. And I lost my mom and I lost a friend and a colleague far too soon in their young lives. Yet we all know that the spirit and legacy of people, good people, lives on, and that can never be taken away from any of us. And to that end, I hope we can all draw from the strength and energy and courage of people like our lost friend Andy Linehan when times get tough in our own lives. I know I certainly will. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here and share my thoughts on this very special day.
Thank you, Mr. Arnett. Sir?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Stu Webster, Director of Permitting and Environmental Affairs at Iberdrola Renewables and member of the American Wind Wildlife Institute's Board of Directors. I am speaking this afternoon on behalf of the staff, directors, and members of the American Wind Wildlife Institute. One of the most difficult challenges we have as humans is striving towards genuine understanding of differing opinions, the needs and desires we have relative to each other. Respectfully working together to find the often more elusive common ground that we share, and realizing a resolution that capitalizes on the common ground while ameliorating the differences that we have. Conceptually, one can apply this challenge on a personal level, sharing a life with a loved one, for example. One can just as easily apply this task to much more complex relationships. For example, the historical relationship between energy industry and environmental groups. While 30 years of environmental regulation have afforded all of us an improved livelihood, it has done so at a high cost and perhaps not as efficiently as otherwise possible. An indisputable cost is that mutual trust and respect among all stakeholders have suffered with time within this regulatory dynamic. Andy Linehan undertook the challenge to find a better way to approach this task in every respect. Specifically for me, I witnessed his efforts as a wind industry representative. His style of approach was humble, his style of engagement was courteous, and his style of effective negotiation was founded fundamentally on respect. More succinctly, Andy Linehan was an honorable man. As a representative of Iberdrola Renewables, he was the first industry representative to adopt a voluntary company-wide AVM bat protection plan. He was a member of the Federal Advisory Committee that has advised the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on improvements to siting guidelines. In particular, to the American Wind Wildlife Institute, he was also among the first members to join this small group of wind energy and conservation interests who believe collectively that the best way to address environmental impact questions are, one, to create a safe haven where open dialogue among all stakeholders can be accomplished, thus improving that mutual understanding, where various sources of funding are leveraged to more efficiently research the questions derived, thus working to find common ground. And three, develop and disseminate the tools and guidance necessary to implement the answers that are found, thus working towards capitalization of the common ground goal of renewable energy done knowingly and responsibly. With Andy's passing, I'm brought to think about another difficult challenge, perhaps even more challenging than the one accomplished so well and consistently by Andy throughout his life. In the absence of his thoughtful leadership, encouragement, and strength, it falls upon each of us to not only recognize the example set by Andy, but to remember it and pass it along in perpetuity, and most challenging, to honor his memory by each of us assuming the path of this honorable man. Andy Linehan was a hero of mine, a rock of reason in what sometimes seems a fluid medium of varying behavior and intent by any and all stakeholders. Andy taught me and many of those around him that just because that's how it's done does not mean it's the best way. The members of AWWI strive to continue our work in his legacy. Thank you. I greatly appreciate your time.
Mr. Webster, Mr. Furman, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Leonard. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name's Don Furman. I'm a senior VP at Iberdrola Renewables. We're the largest wind owner and operator in the world. We have our U.S. headquarters here, so it's really a pleasure to be in front of you today. I also serve as the president of the American Wind Energy Association, which is the wind industry's national trade organization. And we're here today because we just feel very, very lucky to have known Andy, and our company is so very, very lucky to have employed him. He was a major part of our success, not the least reason is that, as you've already heard, he had such an amazing ethic. He always did the right thing, and it's not an exaggeration in the least to say that this man was the conscience of our company, or even the conscience of our industry. And in fact, as you're going to see in the next couple of panels, he is still our conscience, because all the people who are going to come on after me from Iberdrola, with the exception of Stu, who just joined us this week, but who knew Andy for a long time, have been affected by Andy. I'm often the guy and my colleagues who, we're in a business to make profit. And you don't do anything in the energy industry, or in fact any industry, without having environmental impacts. So it often comes down to me or my colleagues to make a decision, you know, do we do it this way or do we do it that way? And I'm here to tell you, Andy Linehan had a major, major impact on this company and this industry. So much so that in his final days, I was able to call together a special meeting of the board of the American Wind Energy Association. And that board unanimously decided to name its annual environmental award after Andy. And so his name is going to be memorialized for quite some time. So thank you very much. And with that, you're going to, again, hear many of the people who he trained, who he affected, who worked with him and for him. And I think you'll hear some good stories. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Our next panel is composed of Brian Walsh, Sarah McMahon Parsons, and Jim Gilbert. And they are all from Iberdrola Renewables. Welcome. Who'd like to start?
I'll start. Members of City Council, my name is Brian Walsh. It is a pleasure and an honor to give testimony today about the life of a friend, mentor, and fellow citizen of the City of Portland, Andy Linehan. Andy, to me, was a true leader, even though he would humbly deny it if he were here today. Andy was not necessarily your traditional leader you see on a stage behind a podium or in the spotlight, but rather a silent leader whose actions and example spoke volumes without ever uttering a word. Andy led his life true to his morals, ethics, passions, and loves, and these defined his actions on a day-to-day basis, whether at home, work, volunteering, traveling abroad, or in the great outdoors. Andy's actions showed dignity, respect, and responsibility for others, this city, and the environment. If it wasn't readily apparent in the office or on the street, you would have been reminded of Andy's thoughtful approach to life when you happened to see him cleaning up trash on the Oregon coast beach in a heavy downpour, or perhaps when you saw him passing you on the bike path commuting to work. You certainly would have been reminded when you passed Andy on the trail in the gorge helping a fellow hiker. Andy's commitment to volunteering and his service to the community boards would have been another reminder. Or perhaps you were lucky enough to have spent time with Andy and his partner, Carl. Wherever it was that you met Andy, you walked away knowing Andy was doing something he loved by his passion and the smile on his face. Even more inspiring was the way Andy led in a humble and unassuming nature. Andy never sought recognition for others for any of his efforts. But on the contrary, more often Andy deflected the recognition onto others when it came his way. If you congratulated Andy on one of his accomplishments, a typical response might be, "Thanks, but I was just doing my job." Perhaps illustrating this point even more precisely, a few weeks before Andy passed, I sat in Andy and Carl's living room, and Andy told me that he wished he had accomplished something in his life. The comment was heartfelt from Andy, but to others that heard it, it seemed preposterous. It was that comment that spurred a mass email response from to Andy from individuals across the country and the world, citing how Andy had inspired, motivated, improved, or helped enrich their life, either personally or professionally. These emails and letters now are amassed in a large binder, serving as evidence of a life well-lived and true to Andy's principles and passions. Further tribute to recognition of Andy's accomplished life has been the generosity towards the scholarship fund at Reed College, where Andy received his bachelor's degree. Andy established the scholarship fund 3 weeks before he passed to be awarded to individuals in the Emerging Environmental Studies program. Within weeks, the fund donations had already surpassed $30,000, and today the fund is over $200,000 thanks to the contributions from Andy's estate, 98 individuals, and 10 companies, and continues to grow today. It will be a lasting legacy inspired by Andy's life. If Andy's inspiration was not apparent before, it's transparent, very transparent today. Thank you to Mayor Adams and members of the City Council for recognizing Andy's life and accomplishments by this proclamation on this special day.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Ms. Parsons?
Good afternoon, City Commissioners. My name is Sarah Parsons, and I live in Northeast Portland, and I work at Iberdrola Renewables. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony to the council. Andy was a close friend. He was like family to me, and he had a profound effect on my life. I first met Andy in 2005. I had recently moved here from D.C. and wanted to join the renewable energy business to be part of bringing clean energy to my country. Andy brought me under his wing. He was an amazing mentor. I looked up to him for his knowledge, problem-solving skills, diplomacy, and kindness. He and Carl welcomed me and my family and so many of us here in this room into his community. He took us on hikes in the gorge. He introduced us to local restaurants. He influenced me to join the City Club. He even spearheaded our company's Bike to Work Challenge. And he also introduced me to other leaders in the industry. I had the honor of sitting next to Andy in the office for several years and being able to bounce ideas off of him and talk to him about strategies, and I learned so much from him. The Dillon Project is a perfect example. It was a very contentious project near Palm Springs where we were competing with real estate interests and urban sprawl. And I remember Andy and I were walking door-to-door talking to local people about the project in both English and Spanish and passing out information. And a big, angry man with a shaved head drove up in his Hummer and got out of the car and started yelling at Andy. And he was his ever-so-poised self. He handed him our fact sheet, told him about the project, and said he would be welcome to talk to him more about his concerns. And you could always tell Andy was like that. He was raised by a U.S. diplomat, and he carried that throughout his life. We also worked together on the Leaning Juniper projects here in Gillam County, Oregon. And he brought together all the stakeholders, the Energy Facility Siting Council and Oregon Department of Energy, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, landowners. And we discussed the project. We moved facilities away from state-endangered Washington ground squirrel colonies, and we set aside a conservation easement to preserve native habitat. He always was there to ensure that there was a net benefit to wildlife. And last year, the Renewable Northwest Project, which is a local organization, recognized his influence on Iberdrola and on the industry as a whole and gave him the Clean Energy Award. And throughout all of his medical challenges, Andy was always there for his family and for his friends and his commitment to clean energy. I remember him coming to my wedding, actually, the afternoon after he was released from the hospital during one of his treatments, and he was working on the Fish and Wildlife Service guidelines and project issues in his very last days. He was truly dedicated to collaboration and environmental stewardship, and he brought so many potentially opposing groups together to resolve issues. I am so honored to carry on the values that he taught me, and I know others feel the same way. So I thank you again, City Commissioners, for the opportunity to provide my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Parsons. Mr. Gilbert?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, City Commissioners. My name is Jim Gilbert. I'm Managing Director for the Wind Technical Services Group at Iberdrola Renewables. On behalf of Andy Linehan, I thank you for the opportunity to provide my testimony on this very special day. It is indeed an honor and a privilege. For the past 5 years or so, I had the sincere pleasure of working closely with Andy as a friend, a colleague, and as his supervisor. Watching him navigate the many challenges he faced as he managed Iberdrola Renewables' environmental energy practices and policies. During this period, Andy's leadership served to shape Iberdrola's environmental strategy immensely, specifically their strategy for large-scale wind development in the continental U.S. Andy had the uncanny ability to work with stakeholders, permitting agencies, whereby he always seemed to reach consensus and positive results through proactive community involvement and respect for others. His strong leadership and tireless collaboration was a true testament to his passion to achieve an equitable environmental and commercial balance within a very competitive clean energy industry. One of his most endearing qualities, however, was his professionalism and the strength he exhibited during the last few years of his employment. Andy never once allowed his progressing medical condition to interfere with his daily work tasks and remained true to his own high standard of moral ethics and never once complained to anyone. Throughout his courageous and lengthy battle with cancer, he remained one of the most unselfish and endearing individuals I've come to know and work with. He was truly a remarkable man who I will deeply miss. It was an honor and a privilege to know and work with Andy. His enduring legacy in wind energy, the environment, and wildlife preservation will be a tribute to his many accomplishments for the years to come. Thank you again, Mr. President and City Commissioners, for the opportunity to provide my testimony on behalf of our good friend and colleague, Andy Linehan.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Our next panel is comprised of Gene Wilson, Julie Vigeland, and Dylan Amo. Gene Wilson is from SunPower, I understand, and worked with Andy at Iberdrola. Ms. Vigeland was a classmate at the American Leadership Forum. And Mr. Amo is the current chair of the Citizen Campaign Commission, and Andy previously served on the commission for 4 years. Welcome, Ms. Wilson.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity to address the council. My name is Jean Wilson. I'm a vice president and general counsel for the utility group of SunPower Corporation out of the Portland, Oregon office. I had the privilege of working with Andy for many years at PPM Iberdrola, and I originally had the great challenge of convincing him to join PPM. The first time we tried, CH2M Hill countered with an offer for Andy to run the Portland office Western region for CH2M, with hundreds of employees, and how could we top that? A couple of years later, still in search of someone to run our wind plant permitting, I called Andy to ask if he knew of anyone for the job. To my delight, Andy said he himself was interested. The day we were expecting Andy to respond to our job offer, he called to say that the melanoma he had been battling had recurred, and he'd be withdrawing from the recruiting process, to which we said, "Please, won't you still join us? Limited time with Andy Linehan, beats unlimited time with many others, without a doubt." And he did. And with that, PPM and the wind industry gained our own Lorax, an amazing individual who worked tirelessly to create a healthy environment for us all. So if I can get my composure back, in honor of Andy, who continues to inspire us all, I would like to read a passage from the Lorax. "And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with one word, unless. Whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long, long ago, but each day since that day, I've sat here and worried away, Through the years while my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all of my heart. But now, says the Onceler, now that you're here, the word of the Lorax seems perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. So, catch, said the Onceler. He let something fall. It's a truffula seed. It's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the truffula seeds, and truffula trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffula, treat it with care. Give it clean water and feed it fresh air. Grow a forest, protect it from axes that hack. Then the Lorax and all of his friends may come back. Andy remains an inspiration for all of us to plant that tree and nurture it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Julie, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President and commissioners. My name is Julie Vigeland, and I'm here as a friend of Andy's, but also representing our Class 18 of American Leadership Forum from 2003, of which Andy was a member. Given all that I knew, I decided I want to do this in a little bit different format, and it turns out that April is Poetry Month. So I'm going to share a poem with you that I have attempted to capture about Andy. In attempting to cope with Andy's death, ALF classmates gathered at my home and shared our memories of this sweet and gentle soul who was genuinely authentic and lived his life accordingly. Hopefully these words are not only my reflections of Andy, but also those of our fellow classmates. To Andy, a dear friend. As ALF friends, we gathered to share and to weep. Through our dear friend Andy, we had memories to keep. The loss we all felt was great, it is true. But we knew that we must take from Andy a cue. The happiness that Andy brought to our group, why, it was clear he would jump through a hoop for the sake of his friends, and listen he would with intent, then do what he could. During our time on Mount Adams, we climbed and rappelled on the rope's course up high. Our Andy excelled with a hand out to others, an encouraging voice. The help Andy gave provided no choice that we each take a leap and trust in the others. That trust helped us work later as sisters and brothers. As that year gained momentum and bonding was fierce, we thanked Andy and others for helping us pierce through the layers of prejudice of all different sorts. We struggled and struggled, but strong as a fort was our Andy, a leader, a friend, and a guide. We were all better people with him on our side. Our Andy, dear Andy, no pretense he had. His candor was clear, and for that we were glad, because with Andy, you always knew where you stood. He was strong, he was positive, and a force for good. It might seem on first meeting Andy that he, a reserved and quiet person, would be, but that wasn't the case. And soon we learned to know the energy and joy and warmth he did show. When making decisions as a group, it was clear that we all looked to Andy, who had no fear of painting the picture as true as could be. He'd point out the obvious so we could all see. Andy, the negotiator, we all came to know as he assessed what he saw, and then he would show the best way to reach a solution for all. His gifts and his talents were anything but small. Through both his professional and personal life, Andy was focused and never would gripe about issues that might frustrate others. You wouldn't find Andy running for cover. He took on the challenges, hard they might be, and he looked for solutions others didn't see. A creative mind that he put to good use, a chance to better mankind he didn't want to lose. Andy at work and Andy at ALF and Andy at home. Never far from Carl did our Andy roam. A dinner at their house I'll never forget, a planning session for ALF it was, and yet we were all treated royally in the garden so green, more meticulous gardening you've never seen. The picnic was yummy and specialties galore, no wonder we all came back asking for more. When we've gathered since 2003, some might not make it, but Andy, he would be there, and even closer we grew. Time was of the essence, our friend, Andy knew. How fitting on Earth Day to acknowledge dear Andy in public policy, planning, and wind. It was handy to have this man working to better our world. Always great ideas from Andy's mind swirled. From the Peace Corps to Carnegie and Brookings too, on to Bonneville and Iberdrola, he did pursue answers to wind power. Yet important also were the wildlife considerations. He made it so. For so many reasons, our Andy will miss, but our memories are filled, too many to list. All gathered here were privileged to know a great man indeed. Now I say, let the wind blow. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Emo. Mr. President, members of the City Council, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. My name is Dylan Amo. I'm the current chair of the Citizens Campaign Commission. I had the distinct pleasure of serving Andy, or with Andy, during the previous commission term. As you have heard from everyone here today, Andy was a rare and special addition to the Portland family, and many of us are here because we were blessed to have been introduced to him, or work with him, or call him a friend. My story is no different. Andy's deep and personal commitment to community and good citizenry ran to the core of who he was. I'm reminded of a passage by our founding father and third president, Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to George Hammond, when he stated, "A nation, as a society, forms a moral person, and every member of it is personally responsible to his society." Andy, as you have already heard, was a busy professional, a family man, but he never abdicated from his responsibility to his community. At our meetings, his hand was always the first to rise when needed help with editing reports to the council, and his voice was always well thought out and deeply respected by everybody. Andy's commitment to Portland can never be questioned. Today's proclamation is fitting. Andy was a man that has given so much to his community. For the entire community to come together to celebrate his virtues shows how much he touched us. And we are reminded by him. He is a man who gave back to family, to colleagues, and to the city. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us. We have one more panel, and I'm looking to Andrew for some help. I understand Ann Drape cannot be here. Who's reading her testimony? So, Andrew, would you please come forward? And Mr. Gudaz Iktatari, would you please come forward? Mr. Iktatari is from the Laurelhurst Neighborhood Association, and I understand that Andy inspired you to join the Neighborhood Association?
Yes, that's correct, President.
So welcome both, and would you please begin, sir?
Mr. President, Commissioner Fitz and Commissioner Leonard, my name is Gudaz Iktatari. I live at 808 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard, Portland, Oregon, 97232. It is my great honor and pleasure to speak with you about our late friend Andy Linehan on this Earth Day session of the Council. My first encounter with Andy was sometime in 2002 when I contacted him as Laurelhurst Neighborhood Association president to suggest an initiative to put 39th Avenue on a road diet based on an experience I had managed in Vancouver, Washington. After listening to me, he insisted that I should get involved with the Neighborhood Association and become Transportation Committee Chair. In the aftermath of the panic era of September 11th and the following wars, his invitation meant a lot to me. Now I know that being born to a Foreign Service family and grown up in four continents made him an internationalist and as diverse as you could hope for. I have been with LNA board since 2004. During that period, I've also served on Southeast Uplift Board of Directors for 4 years. Andy was an active member of the Laurelhurst community. He was vice president on the LNA from 2001 to 2002 and president from 2002 to 2003. He continued to volunteer for the Southeast Quad by delivering newsletters
and exhibited a fondness and concern for the health and livability of his community. In memory of Andy's service to the Laurelhurst neighborhood, the LNA is proud to make a $500 contribution to the Andy Linehan Scholarship Fund at Reed College. I would also ask to present you each with a copy of our newsletter where we have a piece in his memoriam. I too appreciate the council's decision to proclaim today to commemorate and honor Andy Linehan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Andrew?
Hi, my name is Andrew Carlstrom. I work in the office of the city auditor, and I'm going to be reading something from Ann Draper. Ann couldn't be here today. She's homesick, so this is her letter. I would like to offer a few words about Andy and Carl as a couple. I do not pretend to know the inner workings of others' relationships. That is for them alone. However, I have been an observer and a beneficiary of Andy and Carl's relationship for the past 20 years. I still remember a phone conversation with Andy early in their relationship where he was expressing a sense of surprise at his experience and wonder at the depth of his feelings. Carl was traveling a lot in his work, and Andy said a little sheepishly that he worried about Carl until he returned home safely. I had known Andy for about 6 years at that time. If I had met Andy and Carl separately, I probably wouldn't have said, oh, they would be perfect for each other, but I would have been very wrong. Very different as individuals, Andy and Carl have been the sort of couple who brings out the best in each other. Professionally, they were highly competent and sought after in very different fields. Personally, their temperaments seemed to complement one another. Carl's calm and stability balanced Andy's energy and vitality. They found a way to meld their busy lives in satisfying ways. Themes emerged: political action, community involvement, environmental concern, extended family, physical fitness, and many more. They all seemed to enjoy each other's company, cooking and gardening together, entertaining friends and family. Carl always referred to Andy as the social director, and setting out on ambitious travel adventures. They have also been unfailingly generous in welcoming others into their circle. I can't count the number of interesting and inspiring people I've met through Andy and Carl. A dinner at their home was guaranteed to be delicious, and the conversation stimulating and thought-provoking. I've had the privilege of being included in family holiday celebrations and outings of all sorts, hikes, restaurants, concert plays, operas, and travel near and far. I especially cherish memories of a trip to Tuscany that they organized for a lively group of friends and family. Through the years, their partnership grew and changed, and everyone was certainly tested. All the while, they remained close. During Andy's illness, Carl has always been there, the calm center of the storm. When Andy was anxious or uncomfortable, he relaxed visibly when Carl entered the room. And while Oregon and other states continue to dither about who may or may not be married, Andy and Carl quietly made a commitment for a lifetime and kept it. Ann Draper.
Thank you both very much. I'm now going to read the proclamation.
You have some public testimony.
Oh, excuse me. My apologies.
Who's three people who signed up.
Okay.
We have Joe, and please come on up. Joe Meyerton. No, okay.
Okay.
Chris Smith and Lily Mandel.
Erwin and Lily Mandel, welcome to council.
You.
Chris?
Thank you.
Lily, would you please kick us off?
When we first came to Portland, Erwin and I met Andy. We went to a committee meeting that was being held at his house.
City Club.
At the City Club. And at this meeting, we didn't have a car. We still don't have a car. And we had taken a cab out there. And Andy was very, very kind to these strangers and said, come, drive you home. But in the meantime, he wanted to show us Portland. He drove us around all the neighborhoods and drove us. And it was kind. But I have to say, everyone is talking about all his wonderful accomplishments. But he was a kind man, and he showed kindness towards us. And I think all I could, after hearing about him here today, is I think Andy was a great mensch on this earth, and fittingly, today is Earth Day. Thank you for doing this. I think it's perfect.
Thank you, Lily. Erwin Mandel?
As usual, that's a hard act to follow. So I'll keep my comment, I think, just one thing. I've listened to Andy's background, his accomplishments, and everything he did. I'd like to sum up, I think, our acquaintance with Andy in one word. He was truly a gentle man.
Chris Smith?
Well, I had the chance to come to know Andy through City Club and enjoyed very much his generosity, his friendship, the hospitality of Andy and Carl. And while I was certainly aware that he contributed to the community in many ways, it's only been since his passing that I have been amazed but not surprised to find all the ways he has contributed to our community locally and globally. For me personally, probably the lasting lesson I'll take from Andy is that for a hot-headed activist like me, his very calm and thoughtful style of leadership has been a very positive example, and I hope I've learned from him. I'm just very grateful we have this opportunity to celebrate him today.
Thank you very much. So I have a proclamation to read, and I know that my colleagues may also want to say something. So what I think I'll do is first invite any comments from my colleagues, and then I'll read the proclamation and present it to Carl Snook. Commissioner Fritz?
Well, thank you all for being here today to honor this great man. It's interesting that he said that he had not accomplished anything, and yet he has done so much for our state, for the people of Portland. And the one thing that obviously affects me the most is his work on the Citizens Campaign Commission and helping to transform the way we do things in Portland so that anybody can be elected to the City Council with the support of all of the citizens of Portland in that work. And so I think that's a fitting legacy for this great man, that he opened doors for people as well as looking after bats and energy and the entire planet. So thank you all for being here.
Commissioner Leonard?
It's often said that a person's best defined by the friends that they have, and you have all requited him well today. It has been truly inspirational to hear each of you speak, and thank you for what you did in Andy's memory.
Well, it's now my honor, colleagues, to read the official proclamation and then to present it to Carl Snook, and then we're going to adjourn council so that people can mingle and take a five-minute break before we... Pardon me? Okay. Carl, would you please come forward? It's if you could take a seat, sir, and it is an honor to have you with us today. And it is my honor to read the official proclamation issued by the mayor for this day. Whereas Andrew Andy O'Brien Linehan was born in Paris and as a youth lived in cities in Africa, Australia, and North America. And whereas Andy Linehan received a bachelor's degree in international studies at Reed College and a master's degree in public policy and urban and regional planning from the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University. And whereas before returning to Portland, Andy Linehan served in the Peace Corps and worked for the Carnegie Foundation for International Peace and the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. And whereas during his distinguished career in Portland from 1984 to 2010, Andy excelled in his work for the Bonneville Power Administration, CH2M Hill, PPM Energy, and Iberdrola Renewables. And whereas Andy Linehan was a founding board member of the American Wind and Wildlife Institute, was a presidential appointee to the Wind Power Advisory Committee of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and promoted incorporating wildlife considerations into wind power siting and operations. And whereas Andy Linehan has been recognized not only for his work in the field of wind energy, but for his leadership and teaching in the art of negotiation, persistent positivity, and his professional ethic, especially as it related to his concern for the environment and for wildlife. And whereas Andy Linehan's civic service in Portland included the Citizen Campaign Commission with the City of Portland, the Laurelhurst Neighborhood Association, presidency of the City Club of Portland, and the Equity Foundation. And whereas with Carl Snook, his partner of more than 20 years, Andy Linehan enjoyed experiencing the natural beauty of the Pacific Northwest. And whereas Andy Linehan left a legacy of bettering our world, and it is fitting that today he is honored on the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim Thursday, April 22nd, 2010, to be a day of recognition for Andy Linehan in Portland and encourage all residents to appreciate his many contributions to our city. Congratulations. That concludes our official presentation, and we're going to adjourn this proceeding, and we will come back in about 5 minutes. Thank you.